Now let's look in Matthew chapter 26 and look in verse 26. And the Bible said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us now. We certainly love you and we thank you. Lord, I thank you for the good choir songs that has been sung. I pray that they have blessed you and brought glory and honor to your name. But Lord, it's preaching time now and we certainly need you and desire your help. And Lord, I can't preach without you. And Lord, I pray that you would guard our thoughts and our mind. And you know the battle that rages today, not only in my mind, but Lord, in folks' hearts today, I pray that you would just help them and that to find peace and security and that in you. I thank you for dying for me so that I could be saved. And Lord, I ask you now again to touch us and anoint us afresh, and we'll give the glory for it all. Save that sinner that may be here today, and save that sinner that's near as hell. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. At this time in the book of Matthew, Jesus is drawing close, and that of going to Calvary. It's becoming time, and that for him to go and that to die for our sin. But he is celebrating and remembering the Passover and that with his disciples. As a matter of fact, it is this time that the Lord reveals and that to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we get the Lord's Supper. If you go over there and look sometimes, you can see that. But this scripture right here is the time when Jesus is telling them what he's going to do. If you look in verse 26, as he was taking the bread, and that represented that body of that lamb that was spent back in the land of Egypt during the Passover time, he says, "I want you to take this bread and I want you to eat it, because this is my body." Can I tell you, at Calvary, Jesus gave all of himself. Say amen right there. Amen. Help me out, church. Listen today. Jesus gave himself so that you and I might be saved. But then I want you to look, and I could stay there all day about all the suffering that the Lord Jesus went through, that he spent through, and had for my sin and your sin. But I want you to look in verse 27 and verse 28. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Can I tell you, the Old Testament that he was referring to, and that was the testament given to Moses over there on Mount Sinai, and that with the law. But he said, "This is my blood, which is given for the New Testament that's going to be made here in just a little bit." It was going to be his blood, and that was going to forgive man of his sins. Amen. And that's what I want to preach on for just a little while. With God being our helper, with a thought on the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Now there's a song by that name, and I asked my wife the other day, I didn't think she knew it, and I said, "Do you know that song, the blood that stained the old rugged cross?" And she's laying on the couch over there, and she just took off singing it, you know. And listen, I want you to understand something today, that they could have killed Jesus without shedding his blood, and it wouldn't have mattered. But there had to be shed blood, and that to forgive us of our sins. Ain't you glad today, and that to be washed and made white in the blood of Jesus? Amen. The Bible said it in Isaiah chapter 1. He said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I've yet to figure out how that you can take sin
that is red and take blood, that is red and wash a sinner that's just as dark as the night, and turning him or her into something that's white. But thank God, because of the shed blood, we can be washed and made white as snow in him. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm a little excited this morning. I hope you are too. But I want to look at his blood, the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Can I tell you that? Listen. Mount Calvary or Golgotha, wasn't the first time that blood had ever been shed there. Rome was in that, and the wholesale business in that of crucifying sinners. He was not the first one to ever in that hang an open naked shame between the heaven and the earth. But he's the only one that hung an open naked shame and took my sin and your sin and shed his perfect blood so that we might be saved. Amen. Can I say, number one, first of all, the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Thank God for that. Listen, first of all, it was planned blood. What do you mean plain blood? Listen, it was no accident that he shed his blood. I want you to take your Bible and look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look in verse 18 when it talks about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I probably ain't going to tell you nothing you don't already know. But if you don't know this today, I want you to know there was a man by the name of Jesus that shed his blood for you. He was willing to die for you so that you could be saved. Ain't that a good thing to know today? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, look in verse 18. For as much as you know, you know something today, don't you? K-N-O-W, you can know. If you don't know that, you can't know today. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now look in verse 28. Who verily was foreordained, where? Before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Can I tell you, it was no accident that Jesus went to Calvary. It was no accident that he sacrificed and made the sacrifice at Passover time. What was the Passover lamb all about? The children of Israel was down in the land of Egypt, in a land of bondage that they could not free themselves from. But the Passover lamb got them out. Amen. Listen, you know what happened that night after God sent all them plagues and that through the land of Egypt over there? God said, I want you to take your lamb, put it up on the 10th day, keep it until the 14th, make sure everything's all right with it, check it out on the 14th day. He said, you take it and you kill it and you catch the blood in the basin and put the blood upon the doorpost and across the lintel. And he said, when I pass through that night, and he said, I'm going to kill and that all the firstborn and that from mankind and that to beast to the cattle, and he said, I'm going to kill them, and he said, but I'll pass over you when I see the blood. And so that's what they were celebrating, was coming up out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. You know what excites me today about the blood? It's what brought me and that up out of the land of bondage. Amen. Was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it was plain blood. Listen, I want you to understand that today. I said, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world? Listen, before God ever spun this thing into existence, before he ever said, we're going to need to make man in our own image, we're going to do it this way, he already knew man was going to fail. He already knew it was going to come to a grinding halt, and that there was going to need to be a Savior, and it was going to be by shed blood. Hey, he knew that when he came into this world. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible said, I'm talking about it being planned blood. He said, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. What are you talking about, preacher? Those sacrifices that was done from the Garden of Eden over there, when God had to kill an animal to cover Adam and Eve's sin.
all the way up into this Passover lamb that Jesus and those men had killed over there that day that they were celebrating, and that the Passover, all them sacrifices that had been made, all them millions and millions down through time, all they were doing was pointing to the one that was going to come. The Bible said, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. The law wasn't the good thing to come. It was, the Bible said in the book of Galatians, that the law was just our schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. The law is what told us that there was something wrong. Ain't that what Brother Roloff preached on? Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. Dr. Law told you that there was something wrong with you. But it was Dr. Grace that told you how to get it fixed. Amen. By the law, no man, no flesh can be justified. But the law pointed and that to the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, preacher, did they know that he was coming and that to die for them? I don't believe they did. People say, well, you know, that the Old Testament saints look forward to Calvary just like we look back to Calvary. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Amen. They kept the law. They lived by faith in what God had told them to do. But listen, the Bible says that when he came, they were looking for a king. They weren't looking for a sacrifice. They weren't looking to read your Bible. They weren't looking for a sacrifice. When he came, no sir, they wanted a king and that to take them out of Roman rule over there. But listen, I'm glad that he came. It was planned blood. Number two, not only was it planned blood, but it was pleasing blood. What do you mean it was pleasing blood? Can I tell you, it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. I believe, I don't want to accuse a man of something that he I believe it was John Adams, one of our first presidents, that he struggled and that with our bloody religion. He couldn't understand why Jesus had to shed his blood. He couldn't understand that. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you today. There's some things that I can't understand in the scripture either, but I know that he did. Amen. And I know that this blood right here was pleasing and that to the God that was in heaven. Listen, when Jesus shed his blood, I believe God the Father in heaven was, a matter of fact, according to Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible said in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. If you look in verse 11, he said, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I believe when Jesus shed his blood yonder that day, God the Father was happy. God the Father was satisfied with the sacrifice that was made at Calvary. Amen. I believe it was a sweet savor and that to the Lord. You know what that word sweet savor means? It means that it smells good and it's got a good taste to it. You ever smelled anything that smelled good and then when you ate it, it didn't taste near as good as it smelled? You know, they got them jelly beans out now that looks like you're going to get a cherry-flavored jelly bean, and when you eat it, it tastes like dirt. Now, there's something wrong with that. Amen. I must be honest with you. I don't like that at all. But listen, you know the thing about Calvary. You know the thing about Calvary? God in heaven. Now, I know that he reached over there about the sixth hour, or about the third hour. I'm going to get it right, about the sixth hour, and just turn the lights out. About dinner time, he turned the lights out. He turned his head, I really believe that, from his own son. And I believe that's why the Lord Jesus cried out on Calvary, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe they turned lights out because of sin that day. But I believe that God the Father looked down from heaven and he seen his son, whom he loved. I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about that. Think about all them lambs that was kept up. And I love animals. I do. The older I get, the softer my heart gets. You know, some of you just got harder as you got older. Mine just got softer. Amen. And I'm just that way. I can't explain it to you. But, you know, all them lambs that was put up over all them years, they died not knowing why they were going to die. You say, well, they're just an animal. They were just an animal. But you know what? Even when they were sacrificed, it pleased the Lord. How do you know that? Well, go back over there where Noah had built that altar after he got off the ark over there in Genesis chapter 8. And the Bible said that Noah built an altar in the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I'll not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. God smelled it and he said, I like that.
He said, I like what I see and I like what I smell. Can I ask you something? And I'm getting totally off guard right now. But when the Lord looks at your life, what's He say about your life? What does He say about the altar in your life and the sacrifices that you make for Him and toward Him? Does He say, boy, I like that right there. I like what I see out of him or her. I like what they're doing for me. I'm just asking you something this morning. But can I tell you something? It was pleasing blood. It was a sweet savor. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, and walk in love as Christ also loved us. Boy, you know why He went to Calvary? Because He loved me, thank God. And hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. God looked down from heaven. You know, when Aaron and his sons took those sacrifices and put them on that altar up there, and you know that thing was up in the air. It was about 5 or 6 feet up in the air, and they had to walk up there to it. And they've got this great big old altar up here, and they had meat of frying all the time, or cooking all the time, if you'd let me say that. Now, I'm just being honest. Read the Bible over here. And they had flesh hooks and all that stuff going on. And he had them laid out when they put oil on it, when they didn't, when they put frankincense, and when they didn't, when they seasoned it, when they didn't. And all those things God had it His way. And if you'd read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, it said that God would smell that. And it was a sweet savor. Can I tell you, at Calvary, when judgment was applied to him and fire was applied to him, that God had a sweet smelling savor up in heaven. Why? Because of the blood. He was the sacrifice for our sin. He was the substitution and that, the payment for our sin. All those lambs and all those goats have been killed down through time. Was nothing but a sacrifice and a substitution for man's sins. What about you? Have you trusted Him yet? He shed His blood so that you could be saved. He shed His blood in substitution for you and for me. My blood ain't no good. Amen. I'm going to deal with the perfection of His blood here in a minute. Just let me deal with it right now. Hey, you know His blood was perfect. I'll come back to this here in a minute. That it was pleasing blood. But listen, His blood was perfect. He was the only one that could go to Calvary. Remember what I said at the very beginning of this message? There'd been men hang at Golgotha, at Calvary, more than anybody else had ever been slaughtered before that time. If you let me say that, what I'm saying is there'd been men after men been killed there, but only Jesus could do what He done. That's what I'm trying to get to today. Only Jesus could do what He done. He had perfect blood. There wasn't nothing wrong with the Savior, but yet they took Him there and hung Him up. And open naked shame. Are we understanding this morning? Are we understanding what Jesus done for us so that we could be saved? Listen, I'm so glad that it was perfect blood. The Bible said in Hebrews 9, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That holy place, I really believe that holy place was in heaven. Boy, after the veil was rent from top to bottom, in the temple that was in Jerusalem over there, the Bible tells us that the temple in Jerusalem and the tabernacle and all those was built on the pattern that was in heaven. Read the book of Hebrews. And I believe He entered into the holies of holies. That's why he told Mary over there, said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended unto my Father. You remember when He come back after He'd done that? You remember what He told Thomas? You remember what He showed them boys? He said, look in my hands right here. He said, come over here. Put your fingers in my hand. Thrust your hand up into my side. But yet when He met Mary over there, He said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended unto my Father. You know, in the Old Testament, right before that Old Testament priest would go into the holies of holies, there was a little altar over there. And there was a laver over there that he could wash his hands. And he would commit that sacrifice just in case he had any sin in his life that needed to be took care of. And then he would enter into the holies of holies. They kept bells on them, you know, and stuff so that they could hear them working in the temple. And if them things ever quit ringing in the holies of holies, they know they's in trouble. Amen. Because they know he done fell over dead. He didn't need to be in there. But listen, He had perfect blood. He was perfect. We're not perfect, friend. You need to get saved today. You need to get saved if you've not been saved. But I want to come back to this. It was pleasing blood. It was a sacrifice for mine and your sins that would forgive us and make us clean. Revelations 1 and 5 said, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And can I tell you this? Not only, you know what? when they sinned in the Old Testament, when they sinned in the Old Testament, they had to go make a sacrifice for sin. There was a sacrificial lamb that they gave for sin. Now that's what Christ was. Christ was our sacrificial lamb. But did you know that they have what's called a free will offering in the Old Testament? What was that, preacher? What was the free will offering? That's where if you just wanted to come and offer something to the Lord, you could offer it to Him. Can I tell you that Christ was also our free will offering? What do you mean? If you look in the book of John chapter 10, He said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He was my free will offering too. Do you ever just thank Him for dying for you? Do you ever just thank Him for shedding His blood? I started teaching these young adults today down in the class on prayer. And we're talking about praying. We never got over there to the part where you pray just to thank Him. What about when you hear a good song? What about when you hear a good song that's sung about the blood? You know, when we sing that old song sometimes, "When I See the Blood, I'll pass over you." Sing page 390, "There's Power in the Blood." I'm going to do that here in a minute. What about when we sing page 379? This is one of my most favorite songs in the Redback book, "That There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood Drawn from Emmanuel's Veins." I got up singing that song all my life. And I bet it wasn't until I got in my late 20s. I was already pastoring down here when I really sat down and looked at that song and really realized what it was saying. "That there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Ain't you glad of that today? Ain't you glad of that? I believe, is it that second verse that says that the dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day? Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad. I'm glad I got there one day, one Sunday night. I got put under the blood and got washed and made clean in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that He's my free will offering. And we ought to thank Him every day, every minute of the day, for what He done for us. But it's pleasing blood. I'm going to tell you, He pleased the Father when He went to Calvary. He pleased the Father. He told His disciples, He said, and He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." You know, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, that there is no remission of sins. There had to be shed blood. You say, why did God set it up that way? I don't know why God set it up that way. All I know is what Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 says, that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've gave it. Well, let's look at that. Leviticus chapter 17. Let me go over there and look. You don't have to. I'll get there fast. But look what He said in Leviticus 17. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." The life's in the blood. So when Christ gave His blood, He gave His life for me and you. Can I tell you, last of all, number four, listen, there's power. Power in that blood. You can do all the works in the world you want to, but it ain't going to save you. You can do all the great things you want to, but it ain't going to wash and make you clean. Amen. But it's going to take the power of the blood. You know what cleanses sinners? The blood. I'll never forget what Brother Danny Hall used to say when he got saved in jail. And he said, they made me go to preaching. He said, we had those plungers in there in the jail, and he said they'd unscrew the stick off of it and said they hit me in the head and said, "Boy, you gotta go hear the preacher." He said, "Somebody's gotta go and you've gotta go." But he said that old preacher come in there and said he got to preaching on the blood of Christ. And he said just that night, he said one little drop just fell from heaven and cleansed my heart and cleansed my soul. Can I tell you that there's enough power in one drop and one blood. I got to thinking about it. Now remember, I'm preaching on the blood that stained the old rugged cross. What do you think they done with that cross that Jesus hung on? I'm just asking you, I ain't got no idea what they done with it. But imagine his blood was shed on that cross. Where they had beat him. And the Bible said in Isaiah 52 that his visage was marred more than any man. And we know that his blood ran off him when they beat him, when they pierced him with them nails, when they pierced his head and that with the crown of thorns, and when they run that spear up in his side. We know that blood and water came forth. But friend, his blood was shed so that we could be saved. Blood that stained the old rugged cross. It was his blood, his precious blood, that he shed for me and you. Not only is it powerful blood, because it can cleanse us. If we walk in the light as he in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. But it was precious blood. We go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 18 and verse 19. I'm going to close. He talks about the blood of the Lord Jesus over there. And he said that we were not redeemed. We were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Can I tell you today, friend, that word precious means of great value. You moms and dads, them young'uns are precious to you. Them grandchildren are precious to you. I wish there was something in the world that I could use that was more important than them children and grandchildren, but I really don't think that there is. Knowing what you moms and dads thinks about your children and your grandchildren. But you know what? That was precious blood. Because it was a precious Savior who came for me and you. I want to ask you, have you ever been saved today? Have you ever been saved and been made white and clean in Him? Because if you have, you ought to be excited today about being made clean. We just come to church hum-ho and go home hum-ho and never think nothing else about what Jesus done for us. But He saved us and made us clean. If you've never been saved, you can get saved us by our heads today, church. Brother Lewis, if you, Brother Jeff, and fellas, if you'll come today, let's get us a verse of invitation. I want to ask you, have you ever been plunged and made white as snow in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? The blood that stained the old rugged cross. I want you to think just for a second. The hands that they nailed to the old rugged cross where he shed his blood. I want you to think those were the hands that touched those that had been sick, those that had been weary and found comfort from the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. The feet that they took and crossed up and drove a spike in them that had carried him many, many miles, and that just to sinners so that they might be saved. That body that got tired and traveled was now bleeding and beat beyond recognition. His head, where a crown one day is going to set, that is made of pure gold, and we'll recognize him and that as the King of all of it. But that day there was a crown of thorns, and that pierced him, and blood did not trickle down, but it ran down. And there that day he shed his blood, his precious blood. I'm going to tell you today, church, if you've not ever thanked him for what he done for you, you should. If you've never been saved, I want you to come as they begin to play. Listen, I want you to come and get saved. Would you come?